Robs in Arms is a new dramatic comedy set in a low-rise in Vancouver's West End that will premiere this Friday night at 10 Eastern and Pacific on CTV. It's a uniquely Canadian series with a remarkable cast of actors, John Cassini playing the irreverent Super Yuri, who's joined by such Canadian talent as Megan Follows, Mark McKinney, William B. Davis, Margot Kidder, Gabriel Miller, Tobias Meller, Gabriel Rose, Kevin McNulty, the wily Allison Down, the great Fred Iwanek, and Zach Santiago, along with many others who are nothing short than delightful. Joining me today is the co-creator, creative producer, and head writer of Robs in Arms, Susan Nielsen. Previous credits include writing for such series as Degrassi Junior High, Degrassi High, Madison, Nothing Too Good for a Cowboy, Degrassi, The Next Generation, Cold Squad, Liberty Street, and more. Please welcome to the commentary.ca the Gemini-winning Susan Nielsen. Good morning, Ms. Nielsen.
Good morning. What a lovely intro.
Thanks for joining us. Figuratively and literally, where does Robs in Arms exist?
Oh, figuratively and literally. Well, I guess it mainly exists in my head and the head of many others, although we actually did wind up with a bit of an address. I think we're supposed to be on Pendrell Street in the West End. There's even the store is called Pendrell Market.
But the actual building that you used in the filming, that's not in the West End, right?
That is not in the West End. In fact, the building we used is out on Boundary Road, which is the crossroads between Vancouver and Burnaby, and it used to be an old nursing home. And we created a CGI background for when you see establishing shots of the building that make it look as though it's placed in the West End. But we also did do exterior shoots in the West End.
Now, the building is very much a character itself in the show, is it not? I mean,
yes.
I know I've seen the series, so you don't venture outside of Robs in Arms very often. I counted two times that we actually leave the building.
Well, I think there were more than that. We in most episodes, we do venture outside, but not often, it's true. I mean, and that was certainly, part of that was budgetary reasons, I suppose. I mean, we created a show that would be substantially shot inside this one building, but interestingly enough, it really worked for the creative to have most action take place within the walls of that building.
Now, do you think that this could have taken place, this apartment building could have taken place anywhere in Canada, or is it uniquely Vancouver?
Well, I think, in a way, I think it's both are accurate. I think that in some ways it's distinctly Vancouver. In other ways, I think the stories we tell and the kind of comedy drama of the human condition is very much universal.
I noticed that Suzanne Marie, which is the character played by Allison Down, she has a sort of monologue about Vancouver having been transplanted from Toronto. Is that how, do you think other Canadians view us Vancouverites?
Well, I think, I mean, Sue is a very particular character, and she's very acerbic and brittle, and, I mean, she's actually one of my favorites, but I think that she vocalizes the sentiment for probably quite a few people who move here, even if they move here loving the city and wanting to live here. I think that there are periods where people can feel very lonely here, you know, despite everybody being very friendly on the surface. I think it can sometimes be a hard city to make friends, especially if you're Sault Ste. Marie.
Right. How did you get involved with the show? I noticed in the credits it says it's based on a concept by Louise Clark. And then you were brought in by CTV to do the show's Bible, which is sort of like the backstory of the whole series, right?
That's correct. Basically, it was Louise Clark at CTV who had the very good idea. They had to spend a certain amount of development dollars on emerging talent. And I'll try to make this brief, but a few years ago they did a show, they did a series of half hours called The Storytellers, and they were half-hour, auteur-driven pieces that wound up getting buried all over the schedule. And Louise had the very good idea that this time it should be under the banner of a television series. And that's when they brought me in, and Louise and I came up with the idea of an apartment building. And then we started looking for all of this wonderful emerging talent, writers and directors.
I've always wanted to ask a writer how they come up with the names for the characters. Do you go through the phone book and put your finger on a name, or do you appropriate them from the crew and the other people in the office?
Well, boy, that's a really good question. Some of them just kind of pop into my head. Some, like Fred Iwanek's character, Nick Papathanasiou.
Bless you.
It's a great last name, and in fact, I totally stole it from a classmate of my 8-year-old son's, Brady Papathanasiou, and I've had to confess to his parents that I did completely rip off their last name. So they come from different places.
Talk to me about the show. I was reading somewhere. We've read about this for a while now, since it shot, I guess, last year, did it?
That's right, yes.
There was a program involved. The series was revolved around this program that allowed for Canadian writers and directors to get that experience in episodic television. Can you talk to us about that program and how has that been for you as a creative person?
Well, I don't know if I can speak specifically to the program because I wouldn't want to get it wrong, but it was interesting. I confess I came to it with a fair amount of trepidation, and I walked away with an enormous amount of confidence in the process. A lot of these people, they were basically kind of hot new writers and directors on the scene, and they did come with a certain level of experience, but hadn't been able to break into the television market yet. And what I found overall in working with, I can speak specifically to the writers, was that they actually taught me a lot about writing as well, and they wound up showing me how some of the ways that I had become almost blocked in my own writing, and how I would go to the most obvious solutions a lot of the time, and I found that they really managed to open me up as a writer too, which was great. And we found some really amazingly talented people.
Now, the scripts are completed before shooting. They say that's unique in this business, is it?
It's very unique, and in fact, the show I'm working on right now follows a much more traditional structure where, we'll wind up in pre-production with probably about 8 completed scripts, which isn't bad, out of 13. But yes, it was a very unique experience. They had a big development budget for this show, and it really made all the difference because I think you've mentioned that you've seen all of the episodes, and a lot of the layering in of stories and people's arcs and little bits of finding out about what happened to that character you saw 2 episodes ago, a lot of that stuff got to be layered in because we had the time to really spend with those scripts and make the season a whole.
Now, when did the actors get involved? Were they in your mind when you were writing the scripts, or did they come afterwards, or when did the actors get cast?
I'd have to say, I'm not sure. The only actor that I recall being in my mind was Mark McKinney.
As Tom.
As Tom. And actually, originally, we had approached him with another role in the series, and I can probably tell you what it was. It was Fred Fox, who's in the 4th episode with Will Sasso. I don't know if you remember that one.
The computer guy, right?
The computer guy. And Mark's response was, well, thanks, but no thanks. I think I'm too old to play that character. But I'm kind of interested. He'd read the Bible, and he said, I'm kind of interested in this guy, Tom, you know, a man who's trying to thaw out after the death of his wife. And so that was actually a role that we wound up building, kind of creating for Mark. But aside from that, we started casting when we entered pre-production, and there were certain people like Margot Kidder. We just offered her the role and were absolutely thrilled to have her agree. And then people like Allison Downs, Zach Santiago, Freddie Wanick, I'll never remember everybody, and so Haig Sutherland, who did play Fred, I mean, those people just came in and auditioned and blew us away and often gave something new to the character that we hadn't seen yet. John Cassini, another great example.
There are some great performances in the show.
Yeah.
Margot Kidder, for one. I also enjoyed what was the guy's name? Oh, I forget now. Anyway, John Cassini was great.
Yeah.
William Davis. The Carlisle.
Yes.
Was it? Did you get the people that you wanted to act in this, or were there people that couldn't make it because of scheduling?
We got, minus one person who had scheduling issues, and the person we wound up getting, I'm so thrilled with that it made no difference. We got every single person we wanted. They loved the material. And also, frankly, we weren't asking for a whole season's commitment, you know. They were coming in to do a couple of episodes.
We're talking with Susan Nielsen, co-creator, head writer, creative producer of Robs in Arms, which debuts this Friday night, June 17th, 10 p.m. on CTV. I noticed that there were a lot of cameos in this series.
Yeah.
You mentioned Will Sasso, who I thought was just brilliant in that episode that he was in. You worked with him before he made it big on Mad TV, right?
That's right. We worked with him on Madison.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
And then there are some others. I don't know if I should be giving away who they are. But
I think you can. That's all right.
Eric McCormick from Will and Grace.
Oh, yes. Well, you know what? That's good. We just won't say which episode, and people can try to find him.
And the Swollen Members, I noticed them in one of the later episodes.
Yeah, and that was really neat because that writer wrote in the Swollen Members specifically in her very first draft. And, you know, I thought, well, we'll leave it in here.
Right.
We'll see if it's at all possible. And we were thrilled that they could come in.
No, go ahead, sorry.
Well, I was just going to say with Eric McCormick, that was one of our ADs, Jason Furukawa, who's in fact very good friends with Eric, and got him to come down one day.
Zach Santiago has to be either my new hero, because he spends a night with Tamara Taggart, and then in the morning he makes her take out the garbage. That's
I am so glad that you picked up on that.
That's the coolest. I mean, you've got to be the coolest guy ever.
Well, you know what? Believe me, Zach is the coolest guy in real life, too. He is like, I mean, he is suave and debonair and charming and kind of a combination of Cary Grant and Antonio Banderas.
Probably right. Now, there are a lot of the local cameos that I noticed, just little, innocent little, even, you know, surreptitious things that you put in, like the Georgia Strait in Yuri's apartment, Bill Good on the radio, and everybody in the building seems to watch Vicky Gabbro. did you do that on purpose to make it Vancouver?
It was very much on purpose, and I have to say I'm delighted that you picked up on all of that. It was very intentional. Yes.
And I noticed that being from Vancouver, I thought it was cool that you did that. But there were a couple. There was no rain, though, in the episodes. And it seemed to me that there was no 9-digit dialing, so.
Oh, God. Wow, you really are observant.
10-digit dialing, isn't it? 604, yeah. So the last question I'll ask, Mark McKinney's character, Tom, says to William Davis's Carlisle in one of the later episodes, "You've got a couple good seasons left in you." Is that applicable to the Robs in Arms?
I certainly hope so. I hope it's got at least a couple more. I'm dying to live with those people again. And I think they're all dying to come back, it's safe to say.
It's so rich, the characters, aren't they, that you could come up with another couple seasons of storylines, couldn't you?
Well, and don't you just want to know what's going to happen with Bobby and Bobby's marriage and Sue and Nick? And I mean, there's just so many things that I want to know about these people.
And if we're making it out to sound like a sitcom, it's not really a sitcom, it's a dramatic series, and I have to admit that, I'm a sentimental sap anyways, but there were a couple dramatic things in the episodes that just, I couldn't handle it. I mean, Stanley and Jeff.
It's a beautiful episode, that one.
And the relationship between Bao and Tony.
Yeah.
Played by
Gabrielle Rose and Colin Foo.
How did that come about? That's interracial, right? That marriage.
Yes.
Was that on purpose, or were there just two good actors that you wanted to put in the show?
Well, I wish I could say it was on purpose, and it didn't start out that way, and it very much became about two fabulous actors. The family had been more 100% Asian-Canadian off the start, and one day, I think it was Gary Harvey, my co-creator, lovely man who worked with all the directors, and he said one day, "What about Gabrielle Rose?" And we all just thought, what a fabulous idea. And also it speaks so much to the makeup of Vancouver. So that's how it happened. It wasn't automatic.
Susan, thanks so much for joining us today, and congratulations on a very fine series, and hopefully there will be more.
I certainly hope so. And thank you. You asked great questions.
Thank you very much. Okay. Robs in Arms debuts this Friday night, June 17th.